A very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebeck.com, back home in upstate New York. And I will spend as little time here as possible. There's not much worse than the plane coming down and the first thing you see is the frozen tundra of Albany. Yeah. Boy, that Tampa Bay Derby and looking awfully good a week from Saturday. Fountain of Youth as well, of course, on Saturday. won't be there for that, but the following week we'll get down to Tampa and get right back into the warm weather. What a pretty fun excursion, to be honest. The almost 3 weeks, starting in Vegas with NHC, and then what I came to call the antebellum tour from New Orleans to Mobile to Savannah and Charleston. Tina joining me for Risen Star Day, coming in that Friday night. And really, it was a wonderful 9 days together. I appreciate the opportunity to afforded by everybody to take those three middle days last week. Spend time with my wife. All right, I won't happen again. Well, the weekend, obviously, we went into, if you were listening to the replay, and I'll get you all the details from parts of the trip that we haven't discussed yet along the way this week. But going into the weekend, we knew it was kind of a little bit of a subdued affair this weekend. Only, really, the major three-year-old activity, which is front and center right about now as we tick toward March 1st. The Minot Bird Derby, I suppose, heading toward the Sunland Derby and the Sunland Oaks, and ended up being a big day for Todd Fincher. And we talked to Todd weeks ago, and even though that nice other horse, the sibling of Runaway Ghost, had ended up on the sidelines and won't be able to compete, Sheriff Brown, Fincher still came up with a very viable alternative, Hustle Up. And not only does he win with Hustle Up and Shane Lavalette, but it ends up being his 1,000th career win. So congratulations to Todd Fincher. We'll catch up, I'm sure, next day or so. Runaway Ghost also won the Currabot, and not the only 4-year-old, now has got 2 wins as an older horse, and an older horse that wasn't necessarily in people's crosshairs and radar screen, but Prince Lucky, got to talk about. Todd Pletcher winning, as I said to Nick, you might have heard on the replay, Todd Pletcher winning in the provinces, as it were, with some interesting older horses in particular. I'm sure you'd be the first to admit that the 3-year-olds are a couple here and there that are going to get their chances, but the older horses are doing the heavy lifting. Prince Lucky with a terrific performance. The Pennsylvania bred from the outside, Johnny V, son of Corinthian, and homebred, and we'll talk about that. Look forward to talking to Todd. Usually get to Todd on Tuesdays in hour 3. And there's plenty to talk about with Todd, the 3-year-old from last week at Oaklawn, and more. We'll get to all of the action, including some of the action from last week that we only had really the Monday at Fairgrounds to go over. And that was highlighted, obviously, by the live visit with Tom Amos and Brett Calhoun. Speaking of milestones, of course, we were able to congratulate him on 3,000 that came over that run up to Risen Star Day. And it was fun to actually get Jack Gilligan, too. People loved hearing from Jack. It's kind of infectious listening to him, if you heard it again this morning. But between Calhoun and Amos and Cassie, we still have got to get a few of the congratulatory discussions and next step discussion pieces in from last week. And I'll pepper the next couple of days as we wait for Wednesday's Fountain of Youth draw, as well as the card that will come together at Gulfstream on Saturday. And it is just, let me just, expected. How can it not be spectacular with the top to bottom, whether it's seven, eight stakes to look forward to. The Canadian, the Devona Dale, where Jaywalk returns, the Gulfstream Park Sprint. Here comes the Bride, the Honey Fox, the McDermott, the Palm Beach, the Very One, and the Express Bet Fountain of Youth. And speaking Express Bet, we'll talk to Johnny at the start of hour two, the last week of Beat the Host. And even though Eddie Olczyk only got one winner, it was a nice price. So we'll see how many it knocked out of Sweep the Host. Might have. We'll see what the roster looks like of Express Bet players. But the field that we're going to see right now, nine in that Fountain of Youth. And everybody waiting for Hidden Scrolls return. You're also going to get the return of Vekoma in there. Signalman as well, and more. Bourbon Ward, Meyer, Code of Honor. Code of Honor for Shug. Shug had a nice firster over the weekend, actually. The Janny Phipps on Saturday. Was that the night? I think the nightcap, I'm pretty sure. Got to look. I'll look at that. But the field for the Fountain of Youth did lose Maximus Mischief, and we'll get an update on his status, and it appears that not great on that front. So we'll connect with Butch Reed and get the latest. But it didn't, coming out of yesterday's work, it didn't seem to bode well. He was pretty much immediately declared from participating in the Fountain off that work, and there might be more time that he's going to have to spend on the sidelines. So we'll get an update on that. Aside from looking forward to Saturday at Gulfstream, the other opening remark topic that sadly have to broach. And I didn't want to just blast out of the, I'll start the week with the Battle of Midway sadness. But what is there to say? And there's no appropriate words that are going to mollify anybody that was really enjoying Battle of Midway's return to the races, and it took him a couple of races to really get back into top form, but it didn't take long, and Hind Pastern it wrenches at you. And you thought, here's a chance, horse that, not that he failed, quote unquote, at stud. There's going to be this handful of sons and daughters of Battle of Midway, and you hope that that one of them, on either side, male or female, can make an impact and have a lasting. Give Battle of Midway a lasting presence, even in the stud book, and there's that chance. But you know, preparing for the big cap and coming off the win in the San Pascal. You know, he had that those fun, you know, top level efforts versus, you know, the horses that, you know, turned up in the Native Diver and the San Antonio and exchanged blows with Dabster. That was tremendous in the Native Diver. You know, his first graded stake win, you know, after returning to training. And yeah, then he got beat on the square by Gift Box. Both he and Dabster, we were kind of anticipating, you know, that rematch, and we were getting it. And there was Gift Box lurking and getting past both of them. And then he faced off against McKenzie in the San Pascal and wins again. And I guess it's small consolation that, you know, that his last performance in an afternoon came with a victory. But he was fun, and he had, you know, really, I think with the return had added to his fan base, obviously, you know, considering how much we hear about, you know, the 3-year-old scenario that, you know, horses come back and you know, don't come back enough and run as older horses. And he did, you know, he did retire after his 3-year-old year, only to, you know, to return. And that, you know, I think that sentiment that's out there kind of grafted a lot of interest and support his way. And boy, was he gave every time out there. And yeah, his only performance that didn't result in a, you know, in a top five finish and a paycheck, quote unquote, was in the Haskell when he was sixth to Gervin and McCracken and Practical Joke, that, you know, coming in 17. So after that, other than that, you know, fifth in the Kelso while he was still working his way back, and he was a better 2-turn horse than he was a 1-turn horse. But after the Kelso, won the Comet to the Top, won the Native Diver, beaten a half length in the San Antonio, and wins the San Pascal, and won a lot of hearts. Just feel terrible for you know, Don Alberto and, of course, Windstar and Jerry Hollendorfer and his team, Flavian Pratt, who rode him nearly every start. Drayden Van Dyke actually broke his maiden way back, going back to January of 17, and Mike Smith had him in the San Vicente. Then Flavian got his first chance in his third start. Corey Nakatani was on him for the Santa Anita Derby when he was corralled late and beaten by Gormley. That was a tremendous performance, actually. And then, of course, from that point on, Flavian Pratt, the third in the Derby. And, you know, for Flavian Pratt, I imagine, too, it occurs to me, I hadn't thought about it, but, you know, that was an important performance and opportunity for him as he, you know, has ascended as a, you know, top rider, and then stayed associated with Battle of Midway the rest of the way. So very tough, and there's just been a huge outpouring. I saw where Windstar is having Battle of Midway brought back to Kentucky to rest at the farm. And so his fan base, those that like to visit the farms, they're going to have a chance to pay respects at a grave at Windstar for Battle of Midway. The other part of this, and I'll get Dr. Alday to talk about that kind of an injury, you know, the hind leg, little different, and you know, we're so used to, you know, the front suspensories and so forth. The hind like this is more unusual, and we'll get some veterinary insight from Dr. Alday. I haven't caught up with the last few weeks, so good timing to, as we always like to do, to have Dr. Alday explain these kinds of sad realities. One of the things that has also come out of this is concern over the main track at Santa Anita. And, of course, they've had tremendous amount of weather that has impacted. It always, you know, always does. And when you get lots of rain. So they're going to, after this morning, right when we're getting off the air at 9 a.m. Pacific, they're going to close the track, and they're going to peel back the cushion, and they want to get a look at the base. And while there's obviously been a spike in incidents and fatalities, we've learned over the years, and had plenty of these discussions, that, you know, clusters, when they happen, they can be very random. And what's notable is that these are, I think the number's 18. They've been spread out. They've been in training. They've been on the turf. They've, you know, it feels like you know, one of those tough to pin down scenarios. And when we've talked to people like Mick Peterson, who's going to be, you know, part of this evaluation, trying to see if there's anything, you know, involved with the surface. You know, you get fissures. That's the biggest concern. You get draining issues, and the base, when there's areas of the base that have cracks and fissures, basically, that'll create soft spots on the cushion. And, you know, that, you know, is always the first thing to be looking for. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. We'll talk to John White, actually, in hour three. Not that John, you know, we're just going to talk the racing sides of things, but yeah, not gonna press John into service as a track surface consultant. So, Battle of Midway. Thoughts with you. Thanks for a wonderful, wonderful career. Terrific horse. Take a break here. Come back fresh and start looking at some racing results. Some carryover results to talk about. At the Races, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is used to support Pennsylvania. Brian Sanfratello, please visit us at pabred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Rhythm is a dancer, it's a soul's companion. People feel it everywhere. Lift your hands and voices, free your mind and join us. You can feel it in the air. Oh, oh, it's a passion. Oh, oh, you can feel it in the air. Oh, oh, it's a passion. Oh, 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 oh.
This is the rhythm.
You can put some joy upon my face. Oh, sunshine in an empty place. Turn to, and babe, I'll make you stay. Oh, I can ease you of your pain. Feel you give me love again. Round and round we go, you still I hear you say.
This is the love that I've been
doing. We're back. 20 plus into hour one. Back home and trying to get organized from. It's funny when you travel like that, and especially because, as I've discussed with Johnny in particular, Johnny and I have this discussion, my inability to get away from, you know, paper, past performances and so forth and charts, I can't do it. I suppose at some point I'm going to have to. But anyway, I as Tina complains, I'm a bit of a hoarder, and that includes even, you know, I was dragging around virtually every important chart and sequence from the NHC, and I thought, you know, I've done it before. I mean, I've got some of it sitting here, but from prior years, but there was a certain point where I had to trim. I mean, I will tell you this, you'll get a kick out of this. I don't know if anybody else has had this problem. We had to buy a third suitcase. I was traveling with my suitcase. Tina came down with her little thing, her little sort of overnight-ish size bag, even though she was going to be with me, you know, traveling 9 days. We found some TJ Maxx in Charleston and said, all right, we got to buy another little suitcase because it wouldn't fit there. It just too much. Plus, I bought four cookbooks. Four? One, two. I bought the Brennan's cookbook. I found a store, and I know I mentioned it in passing while I was in New Orleans. Very close to the track, I've never seen this. I mean, I've found antique shops that have got books, but this was specifically a cookbook antique shop, an antique cookbook shop dedicated. And it's just right there on Broad. It just maybe not even five minutes from Fairgrounds. And it's called Kitchen Witch. It was tremendous. Lovely husband and wife. And so I found one of the older versions of Brennan's cookbook, and that I specifically got it for Tina, who loves Bananas Foster, and so I'm going to try to do that. I'll see if I can not singe my eyebrows when we do the flambé portion. She loves the gumbo at Loy's, so I got a kind of a specialty soup and gumbo and bisque New Orleans style cookbook. And I got to get to Eric Guillo, because Guillo, makes the gigantic gumbo pot on a regular basis. And since I'm mentioning Guillo, congratulations to Eric and his wife on the birth of their daughter, who looks adorable, which is hard to believe. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Guillo, come on. I mean, Guillo looks like something, that comes out of a cave. Who's kidding who? So, luckily the good side of the genes came through. So, congratulations, Mazel Tov to Eric and to the Guillos on the birth of a beautiful baby. So I've got those two New Orleans. Then we were in Savannah, and I had been telling Tina about Mrs. Wilkes for years. And Mrs. Wilkes' boarding house on West Jones is an institution in Savannah. And it's funny. I mean, as I regularly mention to people in conversation the past 6-7 days we were in Savannah and Charleston, I had not been down there since I worked out of Charlotte for Procter & Gamble. And that's 30 years. So I hadn't been to Savannah and Charleston in 30 years. But the one thing that I came across immediately that hasn't changed is Mrs. Wilkes. And the one thing that they did adjust was the name, because for years it was Mrs. Wilkes' boarding house. Now they call it Mrs. Wilkes' dining room. It's not more upscale than it used to be, but it's no longer a boarding house per se. And it is so wonderful. You start getting in line at about 10 o'clock. It opens at 11, closes at 2. It's strictly for lunch, and it's Monday through Friday. And the meals that is prepared by her and her staff, she's gone. It's her son and grandson and family. But the staff has been there forever. And there's a central set of entrees, the fried chicken, which is as good as you will ever have anywhere, period. And everybody's going to say, oh, the fried chicken here and all Stroud's in Kansas City. And Stroud's is great. Stroud's and several other great pan fried chicken joints in Kansas City. But the fried chicken at Mrs. Wilkes. And I'm not a mammoth fried chicken guy. I like it. I'm not, you know, I don't seek it out like some do. But it is exceptional. And Tina certainly went crazy for it. Then they do meatloaf. Now, meatloaf I will seek out. I'm a huge meatloaf fan. They do barbecue pork. Those are the three, you know, major main regular entrees. And then there's maybe 12 to 15 side dishes. All kinds of, you know, the butter beans and black-eyed peas and the corn, whether it's cream corn and cornbread dressing and on. I mean, tons of vegetables and mac and cheese. And it's just spectacular. Grits prepared different ways, grits with cheese and so forth. The place is unbelievable. You sit at a table of 10 with people that you meet, you know, typically the people closest to you in line you're going to get to know. We met a lovely couple from Columbia, Maryland. They had gotten there first. They were first and second in line, Tina and I. And Tina thought I was nuts. I mean, I said, we have, at about 9:45, I said, let's go. We've got to get to Mrs. Wilkes to get in line. And she was like, what do you mean in line? I said, just trust me. We got to get in line. So we get there, and this couple that we end up spending an hour talking to, and then spent more time, and now we're Facebook friends, and we're going to see them at Preakness and the whole bit. Really, really fun. And we were first in, the four of us, and it just so happened, because we were first in, that we were sitting at the first table, and there was a group of five men, and they're local businessmen, retired, some retired, and so forth, and lawyers, and one was a judge, and they local dignitaries, basically, that get in through the back door. They don't have to queue up. And I suppose that, you know, you get that benefit. But anyway, just unbelievable, and a huge treat. And for me, it was like a throwback experience. And as I had suggested before the trip, and as I had said, if you were listening in weeks prior, to going, I will again reiterate, Savannah to me is preferable to Charleston. And not that Charleston's not great and nice. We had a nice couple of days in Charleston, but the 2.5 days in Savannah, we preferred. And the weather was dreadful. We had one sunny day in a week and a half. So I can, we'll certainly hit a few more highlights, but, we look forward to seeing the Zweigs again down the road at Preakness. We had a lot of fun with them. And it was their first time at Mrs. Wilkes. And I came across the guys at our table interested in Derby and coming to Louisville. And they have friends that are in the game and involved. And so really fun, really fun. And shout out to Mrs. Wilkes. So I got the Mrs. Wilkes cookbook because I'm going to try to recreate the chicken for Tina. And I'm certainly going to make the meatloaf for myself and a few other things that are in there. And then what else? I got one other. Oh, biscuits. That's another area where I'm deficient. I don't think I've ever tried to make biscuits. Cornbread, I've tried to make. So I will work on a couple of areas, and even though Tina says she's not going to eat for a month, she wants me to get on the road again. Because we certainly added a couple of pounds, even though we walked like lunatics. I mean, all over the place. Literally, there was one day we walked 9 miles. You know, she's got the Fitbit, as I mentioned. One day, 7 miles. I mean, we hoofed it. So that's how we're trying to, try to balance out the great eating. We had a phenomenal meal at Fig in Charleston. That I will throw out as a absolute. Somehow we snuck in there too, because there was no reservation to be had, but we managed to get a bar seat, and that was fabulous. Charleston, and in Mobile too. They went to one of the Ruby Slippers that for breakfast. Incredible. I had a very interesting, really a fascinating time swinging across the Gulf, and I told you a little bit about the what I saw at Panama City. I mean, that was awful, but otherwise, just a tremendous time. All right, back to, I had to get that in, I suppose. Back to some racing action, and I don't know how many of these sprinters returning from Breeders' Cup. Don't know, Donna, Stormy Liberal. Let's go to Friday in the opener. It's Antonita, and I was keeping an eye on this because he's talking about going back for another try at the Alquaz Sprint, and coming down the hill in the Joe Hernandez on New Year's Day, and got beat on the square by Caribou Club. Comes back just in an allowance that seemingly was probably put on for him as a tightener, and put on the defensive and was chasing Calculator. And Peter Miller, the Richard Pell veteran, and then Eddie Haskell, one of our old favorites, Mark Glatt's 6-year-old, just came and got him. And pure beat. Just Stormy Liberal, no excuse here. And so we'll see, we'll see how that bodes going forward. It's been a bit of a mixed bag between Roy H. and XY Jet. They've come back okay, and working toward Dubai. But Imperial Hint last week, he stubbed his toe. He was on the defensive and couldn't, just wasn't going to get by Killy Beg's captain. That was last week in that Pelican. So little hot and cold. Sticking with some Friday discussion, $10,000 and change, almost $11,000 really, with the Stronach 5. And probably touch on it with Johnny, but $20 winner in a very tough nickel claimer at Laurel. And we went over this with Hammer on Friday, but a $20 winner, that's Dares Gold. That Dares Gold got things going. And then from there, it was formful. After that, I mean, that was the horse that you needed to have. And 7-horse field, second longest price. I mean, that Ms. Piccadilly was a cross out at 60-1. And then Dr. Edgar, no real challenge to come up with the Barkley Tag winner of that turf allowance. Went off as the third choice, paid $960. Then Moe's Ride, 3-2, first time starting favorite, George Weaver. Owner John Ropes, homebred, Sydney's Candy Colt. 20 maiden claimer. And easily sniffed out by everybody. You had the 840 winner, Princess Run It. This for Jamie Thomas at Golden Gate. So Golden Gate, which had kind of spun a few people private previous weeks, in this case, also completed the carryover sequence at Golden Gate, which paid $318 and had a nice pool. Had ended up with $230,000. And then in the nightcap, the anchor leg, Spy Ring, who was one of the ones. I mean, there was no real imagination necessary after that first leg. And a big congratulations, because as the as word spread and people were digesting what happened on Friday, Stan Salter with the ticket that he offered up. And, you know, it's very hard when you're a public handicapper. Very hard. You put the ticket together and you're subject to all kinds of critique and, you know, slings and arrows. And Stan hits this for 11 grand. So congratulations, Stan. Really, Stan, one of the sweetest people out there. And I always, whenever Stan comes up, I always reference the great video on Twitter of when you know, they have that outdoor, they got that crazy outdoor set at Laurel, and the time that, you know, they're sitting there handicapping and a squirrel basically just jumped onto the set and startled Stan. And it's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. And I get the biggest kick out of it. I was very pleased for Stan to hit this. Really nice. And we'll see how Johnny did. I bet you, yeah, Johnny. You know, and what I understand Stan did was he threw out that Miss Piccadilly, the cross out, and basically hit the all on the other six. And for, you know, $72, somehow from there, you know, the multiple, that means he only had a multiples of 12. It's a dollar bet. So very cleverly constructed ticket by Stan to hit the Stronach 5. And there were 83 tickets sold that each collect 11,000. That's a really nice distribution. That's a ideal scenario. Five figure score for people and 83 tickets out there. And the pool, we were speculating 600,000 and change. The pool reached a million. Yeah. So perfect scenario on Friday when it came to the Stronach 5. And then you had bonanza payday. We'll talk about it with Andy tomorrow, with Andy Serling. You had a bonanza payday in the Oaklawn, the Oaklawn Naira cross-country pick 5. I took a swing, and it was tough. The Oaklawn, the last couple of legs, including the upset in the stake, in the Arkansas Bred Stake, the down the dusty road, and then in the nightcap, a couple of big priced horses that made for a big payday. So, and also big payday. I think only one person. I think there was a single winner actually. I have to pull the chart out, but I think there was a single winner of the pick 4 even. Right? I was it the pick 4? I think it was 100 and change. So, some good, even though the racing had, you know, kind of a modest feel to it, with the stakes and so forth, with limited stakes action, things really picked back up this week. But there were some big balloons, as Harvey would say. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and getting close to top of the hour two, and got some other bits of news and fodder to talk about. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You've got an open heart, so you share what's inside, thinking that all is said in confidence. But then you realize.
We're back. About 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Get to Johnny D. Looking forward to catching up with Johnny, see what he thought of the weekend and how he made out. I mentioned earlier some of the 4-year-old news and the 4-year-old performances that are worth tracking. And I know that there's this, I find, slightly strange narrative out there that this was the worst 3-year-old crop in history last year. Certainly Prince Lucky stepping up, and he'd been away since the Easy Goer win, and I maybe forgot about this horse, and we certainly didn't really give him a lot of attention going into the weekend. And particularly with Todd Pletcher offering Coppertown in here as well, but you gotta watch horses like this. In fact, when did this come up? Who was I talking with about the? I think we were in New Orleans, right? And maybe it was Frank McGooey. We were talking about the utilizing things like Thoregraf's sire numbers, and I don't have it in front of me for Corinthian, but I would be willing to bet that Corinthian's sire index, as it were, as Thoregraf calls it, reflects what you just got here from Prince Lucky on Saturday, and it's always worth remembering this. When you've had a horse like this, a 3-year-old that hasn't been seen for 6+ months, I mean, the last time he was on the racetrack was in June of his 3-year-old year. Now it's late February of his 4-year-old year. So really 8 months away. Well, that's a horse that is continuing to mature, and you can't look and you can't handicap a horse like Prince Lucky at the same level that he left when he was sidelined. He's coming back most, you know, most definitely as a different horse. And, you know, for Pletcher to, you know, bring him back in a grade three and not, you know, in a grade three with a seasoned, I mean, he was facing off against a group of seasoned horses. And, you know, Mr. Jordan and that type of Wild Shot ended up scratching out of this, but Quip was returning as well. And Quip ran okay. I mean, kind of an even, you know, kind of was with the pace and a little bit, a little lacking a punch late. You know, certainly not the punch that Prince Lucky showed, but remember that. I mean, when you're, when you have the opportunity to see not just 3 to 4, it's also true of 4 to 5, because a horse that comes back as a 5-year-old now is a full, you know, mare or a, you know, a complete horse and fully mature. But, you know, you can't assume that, oh, he's going to, okay, well, he ran 90 buyer in the, you know, or whatever the fig was on sheets and so forth. And, you know, he was a horse from early on they had some hopes for. You know, he won the Pennsylvania Nursery. At the end of his 2-year-old year, he debuted in the LeCompte. That, of course, instilled regard one. And, you know, then came back, tried the Sunland Derby, was obviously swinging for the fences. That was his first start for Todd. Tried the Sir Barton on the undercard, you might remember, that Axeman won in the slop. And then, you know, ended up his last start at 3, turned out to be the easy goer. But he'd been working very steadily. And a couple of bullets in tow. So Prince Lucky, looking forward to talking to Todd about, you know, what kind of campaign. And congratulations to Dan McConnell, who fashioned Prince Lucky out of his great notion mare with Corinthian. So, and Coppertown, yeah, Coppertown ran okay again. He was coming back last seen in the Hooper, where he disappointed, but he ran well here. The other Lucky that disappointed was Breaking Lucky, who kind of chased and then just backpedaled. He had, went off a little under 2-1. Coppertown went off at 2-1. And then Quip. And you would think that Rudy Brissett's got something to build off of, with Quip, with that return. I mean, he'd been away since the Preakness. So. Give these 4-year-olds a chance to, you know, to get something, get some momentum, and certainly Prince Lucky kind of popped up out of, jumped into the quarter pole, as we say. The other two stakes, before we get Johnny in, the other stakes, the Texas Glitter. Yes, I am free. This was Cassie and Barber, and I happened to catch this live. Prince Lucky, the House Hope win, I saw a little bit afterward, but after the race had gone, I saw the replay. But Yes, I Am Free, now 2 for 2. And, you know, Nick obviously struggled on Friday with the pick four. Attempt, the game builder, was kind of focused on the runner up from that maiden win by Yes, I Am Free, but it was Yes, I Am Free that actually backed up his maiden performance, and was very good. Wins this one, Arad Ortiz, stand up, you know, kind of just chased throughout and never really offered much, but, Yes, I Am Free, 2 for 2. Gary Barber, as you heard Cassie say last week, Gary Barber having off to a tremendous start here in the first quarter of the year. Another stake win, just a $75,000 turf sprint, but it feels like this might be, this horse might be okay. Yes, I Am Free. another uncaptured, and Cassie doing everything he can to help uncaptured the upstart stallion in Florida. And this was a Florida bred, $135,000 OBS purchase. And in fact, the OBS catalog for March just came. Yes, I am free. And went off as actually second choice behind Stand Up Jackson for Jose Pinchon and Tracy Pinchon. Ended up second. And then the other stake, Play On, Brad Cox and Melody of Colors. And as I mentioned, Sean Bridgman making appearances at a winter oval near you, from Gulfstream to Tampa to Fairgrounds to Oaklawn, Bridgmo sticking with Play On, that this Country Day filly, homebred by the Kleins, and you know that I'm a big fan. Three straight wins going back to the 2-year-old year. This filly wins the Melody of Colors. And went off as a second choice behind Beachwood Ella, the Bee and Cone filly that actually we had brought up with Patrick 2 weeks ago. But Play On, very nice and versatile too. Has gotten, this was on the turf, of course, but you know also owns the off the turf allowance win, broke the maiden on the turf, and wasn't all that terrible. Even in her debut. So, the familiar Klein colors and Brad Cox training. The other race, and I mentioned this, how about the nightcap at Gulfstream and passing out Shug, sending out a firster at 10-1, $22 winner in that nightcap. And passing out had been, working kind of nicely, nice and steady. Certainly Orb has not had a lot of first out winners. This was a mile on the turf. And that's a nice performance. There was also that first out winner for Jorge Duarte. The Colt's Neck, the heir to the Allen Goldberg training of horses for Santulli, and first out winner in the loop. This was a Stone Street Super Saver, $150,000 Keeneland Yearling, and had really been working sharp. And Duarte doing very well, doing very nice, and that was his fifth one of the meet. So he's sending out live horses. We're going to send out the call for Johnny D and talk to Johnny about the weekend. Back after this, hour two at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.